Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
So whose seats are heating up and whose seats are on absolute fire? We're going to talk about it here as part of the Big 12 Mailbag. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. We will answer your questions right here on the show. And one of the first questions that came to me on the Facebook chat that I'll get to here in a second is whether or not Kansas State fans in particular should be totally done with Jerome Tang. And I'm here to explain why right now the answer is a yes, but also a no. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us as always. And we just want you to subscribe to the channel if you're a Big 12 fan. Same thing on the podcast. If you are a new listener, please leave us that 5-star rating and review. And please do like the video as well. So we'll talk about other Big 12 coaches who should be on the hot seat right now in this league. But the question about Jerome Tang is one I keep getting. Yes, Kansas State fans should feel like Jerome Tang cannot get them to where they want to be. At the same time, do you fire him and pay him $18 million to go away? I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing it right now. Jerome Tang's buyout before April 30th is $18.675 million. And it basically goes down $3 million every season between now and the end of the decade. Do you pay Jerome Tang $18 million? To go away as a basketball coach? Or would you rather take your $18 million and potentially invest it, or at least some of that, theoretically, into the football team? Or even the basketball team? You reinvest it. Jerome Tang has largely been outcoached. I mean, yes, that run to the 2023 Elite Eight in New York City was tremendous, was a great memory for Kansas State fans. But that feels like a lifetime ago. And this team is floundering along. They have talent. They just can't put it together. So I get why you're fed up. But if I'm a K-State fan, do I really want to pay a guy $18 million to go away? You know what I want to do? Wonder why the heck Gene Taylor gave him that deal. And you know what? I forgot about this until I was reading about it the other day. Obviously, you know, he got the extension. He got a nice revision on the contract after he had that run to the Elite Eight, right? But then, and I forgot about this, after that 26-10 season, first year 22-23, K-State drops to 19-15. They missed the NCAA tournament. K-State still revised his contract because apparently, reportedly, Arkansas and some other teams were looking to maybe hire him away from Manhattan. He signed an amendment to the 2023 extension, which bumped his annual pay and revised his buyout clause, giving him more guaranteed money. Gene Taylor got played on this deal. He just did. He got played. Okay? And if you want to be mad at somebody at Kansas State, frankly, I would be just as upset with Gene Taylor, the AD, for that second extension after he has a major step back in year two. The magic from year one felt like a thing of the past. You missed the NCAA tournament. At that point, I mean, I know you don't want to lose your guy, but if Arkansas is throwing money at him, you say, you know what, have fun. That's what you do. So who else is on this list, though? Listen, when it comes to other coaches, Bobby Hurley's done at Arizona State. There's not a lot more to say about Bobby Hurley. He's playing out or coaching out the final year of his contract. It's over. And when he said last week after a game that there's basically no juice in his home arena, and there hasn't been since pre-COVID, that wasn't the beginning of the end. That was like the end of the end. I don't blame him for being frustrated, but if there was ever a doubt as to whether or not Bobby Hurley thought he had a chance to come back, it's not happening. Bobby Hurley is not coming back. He is in the final year of this contract, and you know what? For Arizona State, they're basically like, hey, we're going to... And I think you're going to see more of this, especially in non-football sports, where these programs are just going to say, listen, what do we do with this guy or gal, depending on what sport it is? Do we really pay for them to go away, tens of millions or millions of dollars? Or do we just say, you know what? We hired you for a reason. We think you're a decent coach. Try to turn this thing around. And maybe you strike lightning in a bottle. But even basketball does not bring in the revenues of football. So I think you're going to see more of this as time goes on in not just the Big 12, but across college athletics, where non-football sports, those coaches, and basketball is where it's going to be most obvious because it gets the second most eyeballs, you'll see coaches just basically coach out the string, so to speak, coach out the contract. You'll actually have to earn your pay. There's a novel concept. Now, who else should be near the top of this list when it comes to Big 12 coaches on the hot seat? Wes Miller at Cincinnati. Wes Miller has shown no ability to make Cincinnati forget being a contender. He has shown absolutely no ability to make Cincinnati competitive at this level. And he just hasn't, and he's had plenty of time. I mean, he's been there since he came from UNC Greensboro, and, you know, he had a nice little run there. He made the NCAA tournament twice in 4 years. Okay, that's great. You win the Southern Conference. I'm happy for you. Then he gets the Cincinnati job, 2 years in the AAC. They don't make an NCAA tournament. Now he's in year three at Cincinnati. They're not going to make the NCAA tournament again. He will go 0-5 since he got to Cincinnati in making the big dance. For a program that, I mean, you know, Cincinnati's not Kansas or Kentucky, but it's a proud program that's had success with Mick Cronin, and they've had success with Bob Huggins. And Wes Miller has done nothing but underachieve and fall flat on his face. Now, here's the thing. The buyout, once again, is a big one. If Wes Miller is fired before April 1st of this year, the buyout is $9.9 million. If Wes Miller gets fired after April 1st of this year, it falls to $4.69 million. So that's why, arguably, he was not fired last year. The buyout last year was upwards of $13 million. These universities just get played so, so badly by these agents. How Wes Miller ever got himself a contract that would have a $13 million dollar buyout attached to it is ridiculous. The guy was at UNC Greensboro, for crying out loud. He got to the round of 64 twice. And Wes Miller has a $13 million buyout a year ago at this point? Are you kidding me? It's so insulting to anybody with an ounce of common sense. But it's the world of college athletics. Unbelievable. So get in your questions right now. We're answering them here live on the mailbag. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. So I think Wes Miller is in some trouble. That buyout becomes manageable at under $5 million after April 1st of this year. And if this year goes the way it's looking, I mean, they had a great win against Iowa State last week, and then they fall flat on their face this past week. They're 2-5, no juice, no tournament coming for Cincinnati. What are you doing with a guy like Wes Miller at this point? What are you doing? I don't see it working out for him. Now, some of the other names that people have brought up to me and said, hey, is this guy in the hot seat or this guy in the hot seat? I don't see Tad Boyle being on the hot seat at Colorado. I just don't see any evidence that Colorado is really in a position where they care enough about basketball to be like, you know what, after 15 years, Tad Boyle's gone. I just don't see it. So that leads me to believe that he's going to be safe and nothing's going to happen there, even though Colorado is not doing much at all. Jensen's new at Utah. I mean, you know, where else are you going to go here to have serious conversations about coaches that might be on the hot seat? Scott Drew's having a bad year. The guy's national champion. Nothing's happening there. And the only other place you might look is Jamie Dixon. But once again, I don't think Jamie Dixon at his alma mater is in a position just yet where you're pulling the plug on that experiment. I don't. And they've got a decent little team this year as well. All right, what else do we have on the mailbag? Throw your questions in right now.
Don't give up comfort for style. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look good while feeling comfortable. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
All right, Keith says, which is more likely, Houston winning the league this March to go back-to-back basketball titles, or Tech winning the league next December to go back-to-back in football titles? That is a fantastic question, and the answer is Texas Tech in football. That's the answer, Keith. And it's not because Houston just lost to Texas Tech on Saturday and saw their 16-game road winning streak come to an end in the Big 12. That's not why. It's simply because of Texas Tech's football schedule next season, which, of course, we talked about when it came out last year or last week. It is, I'm not going to say it's easy because, listen, it's still the Big 12, but you could not put together a more favorable schedule for Texas Tech if you tried. At Colorado to open up league play, or excuse me, home to Houston to open up league play, at Colorado, home to Arizona State after the bye week, at Cincinnati, home to Arizona, home to West Virginia, at Oklahoma State, at Baylor, home to TCU. Their toughest games are all at home. Houston at home, Arizona State at home, Arizona at home, TCU at home. The only tricky game I'm seeing on the schedule on the road is maybe at Oklahoma State if they catch lightning in a bottle with Eric Morris and that entirely new revamped roster in Stillwater in mid-November. That's the only one that I say to myself, well, you know, maybe that one tricks you a little bit. But their toughest games are at home right now. And that is a huge favor to the Texas Tech Red Raiders and the way that this thing shakes up next season on the schedule front. So out of those two options, I get Texas Tech football with that schedule compared to Houston basketball and the grind that is right now the Big 12 on the hardwood. No way. Not close to me. But that is a really good question. Get in your questions right now in the mailbag, Facebook, YouTube, X, however you are watching us. Please make sure you like the video as well and make sure that you are subscribed to the channel here at Heartland College Sports. We appreciate you joining us as always as we go through what is, you know, there is no downtime. All right. Football is maybe in a little bit of a downtime right now. But basketball's in full swing. Oh, my gosh, I got this on X. Pete, what do you think about Shedeur Sanders making the Pro Bowl? Well, I think somewhere Mel Kiper is like, I told you so. I told you this guy was otherworldly. I knew he could be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Somewhere Mel Kiper, with his big oversized glasses and his big oversized head of hair, is screaming about, I told you Shedeur could be one of the greats. I just can see that. He might be yelling at himself in the mirror, but I could very much see that happening right now somewhere in Mel Kiper's home, and his wife is probably telling him to shut up, and she should tell him to shut up. All right? That's what should happen here. Throw in your questions. Throw in your comments right now. That is well done. That is very well done. All right, what else? Pete, what do you think about the way too early top 25 poll that came out from, was this USA Today you're writing here on Facebook? Let me see. Oh, I see. Okay, someone did a composite way too early top 25 list. It had Tech at 7, BYU at 11, Utah at 18, and Houston at 24. That feels about right. That feels like where the Big 12 should be and who should be in it. Now, we know there's going to be a surprise. We know that somebody is going to just shock the Big 12 this year, not necessarily win it, but be competing in the second half of November in a way that none of us expected. And it could be a team like Oklahoma State. It could be a team like Kansas State with Colin Klein in year one. TCU has some really high-end talent. I know they lost Josh Hoover, but they have really good talent on that roster. And Sonny Dykes, I think, is going into a very critical year. Does Rich Rodriguez shock the world in year two with an underrated transfer portal class? I don't know. But in the preseason, that feels about right for your top four Big 12 teams, and they're all getting love in the top 25. Two of them are in the top 11. Texas Tech at 7, BYU at 11. That's right. I mean, that's where it should be. But, you know, this came up actually the other day on the Heartland College Sports Forums, which are free. Hop on there, join them, just talking shop, talking football, talking basketball with fellow Big 12 fans. Like, the loss of Jay Hill, the BYU defensive coordinator, feels like one that is getting overlooked. And I don't mean overlooked in Provo, but overlooked by people who are not diehard BYU fans. And I know that a lot of BYU fans are going to be like, we feel great about Papenga. We think that he's going to be the guy. He can take those reins. He can take over for Jay Hill, who left for Michigan and joined, of course, Kyle Whittingham there. He's a BYU guy. He's one of us. He's been here for a couple of years. He knows our system. He knows what we need to do. He's going to be fine. I hope you're right. But remember, Jay Hill really transformed this defense at BYU. It is arguably the reason that BYU has had the success that they have had the last couple of years. And they have been dominant as you can be after a rough start in the Big 12. Remember, it was a rough go in year one of the Big 12. And then Jay Hill comes in, and he was tremendous, helping turn around this team and getting them and getting that unit coming over from Weber State to a place where suddenly they were one of the best in the Big 12 the last couple of seasons. So I'm not suggesting or saying that, like, oh, man, this team is screwed without Jay Hill. I just think it's a bigger loss than Big 12 fans as a whole are willing to acknowledge. Get us your questions here on the show, and please do make sure you like the video. Swizzy Beats writes on YouTube, you think Cincinnati would bring back Huggy Bear? That would be dope. Well, that would be more than dope. That would be bleeping dope is what that would be. That would be absolutely wild. I do not think it's happening. I do not think that Bob Huggins is made for this current climate of college basketball. He is old school. He is a program builder. He is, you know, kind of along those lines of a Jay Wright. I mean, very different from Jay Wright. Very different. But you know what I mean. He wants his guys. I mean, I remember Bob Huggins when he was coaching at West Virginia in the old Big East days, and he just had a nasty, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I mean this as a positive. He had a nasty group of guys. A lot of New York City kids when they were in the Big East, chip on their shoulders, under-recruited, and Huggins would just, oh man, he would chip away at that chip and make it even bigger. And they would get to Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament, and you wouldn't know what hit you sometimes when it came to Bob Huggins' West Virginia teams back in the Big East days. He was, and Cincinnati, same thing. Go back to Kenyon Martin. Cincinnati fans remember that very well, right? So that's just the kind of coach that he is, and that's not what you can really do anymore. I mean, I hate to say it, but the players have more control in some cases than the coaches. Look at this Darren Peterson situation, and I know that it's getting better. I know he's playing, but now he's got the ankle deal. But, you know, you could sense that Bill Self was beyond frustrated the last few weeks with how this Peterson situation has played out. You got agents, NIL side, off the court, family. I mean, there's just so many cooks in the kitchen, and it's just too much. It's just too much. So I would love to see it from an entertainment perspective, but Bob Huggins is not coming back. No way, no how. Mexican Medic says, do you see Texas Tech being the next Indiana in football next season? I do not. And it's an interesting analogy because Indiana makes the college football playoff, right? Loses in the first round, I believe it was. And then they come back this year and they win the whole shebang. My gut tells me right now, and I would like to be wrong about this for Tech's sake, but boy, did they nail so much in the transfer portal. So much this past season. Bailey and Hunter up front, and I mean, it just felt like every piece fell into place, especially on that defense. I don't know how you top last year's defense, and even if the offense is better to carry more of its load, that is going to be so difficult. It is. And one thing is clear. You need elite quarterback play to win the whole thing. Brendan Sorsby may be an upgrade from Baron Morton. I don't see him as the elite of elite. I don't see him as a number one pick in the NFL draft kind of a player, which is what Fernando Mendoza is going to be. I mean, Indiana, yeah, is a great story, and Cignetti's got the magic touch and the whole thing, but let's not forget, he has what is expected to be the number one pick at quarterback. I don't believe Joe McGuire is going to have the number one pick in the NFL draft at the most important position in football next season. I don't see that. So it's not that they can't be better, potentially, on the lines, O-line, D-line, wide receiver, running back. I mean, you know, they got nicked at some of the skill position players before the season even started. Let's not forget. At running back in particular. But now you go into this year and they, if they make the playoff, hopefully on behalf of their program and the Big 12 can win a game or two. But do I see them just automatically being in a position where they're going to win the whole thing next year? Not right now, I don't. I don't. I don't see it. I just don't think Sorsby's that kind of a player at that elite of a level. I like him, but I watched him a lot at Cincinnati the last couple of years, as I know many Big 12 fans did. And I never saw this guy carry his team on his back and win a game that they like shouldn't have won. In fact, every time they played a team better than them, they basically got smoked. Like, it wasn't even close, a lot of these games. And yeah, they were overmatched, but still, you would have liked to have seen something in one of these games at some point the last couple of years. But the second half, the last 2 years, Cincinnati just folded when they played the better competition on the back half of their schedule. So I don't see it for Tech. I'd love to be wrong. They can absolutely win the Big 12. But what I saw this year and what you saw last year is that if you're going to win this 12-team tournament and the way it's currently set up, you have to have the best of the best at the most important positions. And I am not convinced at this point Texas Tech has that. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Thank you for joining us as always. Appreciate you being here. Make sure that you are subscribed to the channel. All right. Someone says, Pete, you skipped right over my Jerome Tang, Ron Prince comparison. I didn't skip over it. It just wasn't a mailbag question. I mean, it's not open mic night here, but I'll toss it in the chat. Jerome Tang is the basketball version of Ron Prince at Kansas State. That is a very good analogy. The only difference is here you're not bringing back Bruce Weber for 2.0. That's the only difference. But, you know, the other difference, too, is Jerome Tang took over for Bruce Weber, who people felt like couldn't get it done anymore. And then Tang takes his guys to an Elite Eight And everyone thinks Jerome Tang's like this college basketball whisperer. And maybe it turned out Bruce Weber just needed one more year with his guys. I mean, these were all mostly his guys that got to the Elite Eight with Tang. And maybe that was the problem. Maybe Weber deserved one more season. But with Ron Prince, he takes over for Bill Snyder, and then he just totally sinks the program. So a little bit different, but I get the analogy. I do get the analogy. So good stuff there, and we appreciate you guys hopping on the show. As always, joining us for the mailbag on Heartland College Sports, I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Please do make sure that if you are new here, you subscribe if you're a Big 12 college football, college basketball fan. We've got you covered for the next, well, we've always got you covered. There are no breaks on the show. But for basketball, it's just getting started. All right, March Madness is going to be here before you know it. So subscribe. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you soon at Heartland College Sports. Have a great day.